You have to unlock your own energy. You have to unlock. People are always looking, photographers are looking at other people's lives, something they know nothing about. Which, when I did that book, House I Once Called Home, was very liberating for me. I got into absolutely everything. I had gone back to Pittsburgh to photograph Larry Kramer, and I took my assistant, and I said, let's go back and see the Kaysport, to see my old house. And we had sold it 25 years, and I had just turned 70. And I was born in that house. Well, the house had been abandoned for I don't know how long. And the whole town has pretty much been abandoned. And then when I went into the room where I was born, it was like 2 weeks before, it had been 70 years ago, I felt I'd come complete circle. And there was that touching moment of coming complete circle. And then I had, and being in the very room where I was born was, it was very, it was wonderful, it was really wonderful and very touching. So I went back and I came back 2 weeks later and I re-photographed all the pictures I had taken in that house when I was 50 years ago, when I was much younger, and family events, recreating the same spot. Everything exactly the same, and then I double exposed, so you would see the room today, and then the transitional room where the people began to appear like ghosts, and then you saw the room the way it was originally, before it began to fall apart. So it was very, very, very touching. Right. Always been, in my whole experience, one of the, and you never pay me back that $100 you borrowed. But that's
really
okay.
That's really what
with it is. Interest, 150 by, oh, 200 by now, easily. Yeah.
There's no. You would like this. This is a theater game that I play with the class. I take two people, and I say to one of them privately, "You're meeting on the street. All I want you to play ferociously is Dwayne. You look great. I'm so glad to see you." And then I say to you, all I want you to play is, "Where's the goddamn money I lent you?"
Yeah.
And they have this.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they have this cross conversation, and it was some group theater guy said, you know, we're
funny.
All working from different scripts, and suddenly you have this tremendous tension, even, you know, when we're not.
There's a waitress over here in a restaurant that I get along with very well, and so we banter all the time, and so she said she wanted to be a stand-up comedian. She said, but I have horrible stage fright. And I said, well, you should do something with somebody else. And then I said, well, why don't we do something together? So we're working on a little skit where, I don't know if it's going to come, but it was originally called Ginger and the Dirty Old Man. I play the part of Ginger. But I don't think we have enough humor to sustain. So I said, well, let's do something a little more serious. So we're doing something now tentatively called Starbucks. So I'm sitting in all you need is a table. I'm reading a paper, and she comes to the table. She said, you know, it's so crowded. Do you mind if I sit here? And I say, no. But when she gets on, she's on the phone. And this has happened to me. She simply, every sentence is like, you know, can you dig it? I mean, there's no conversation. It's just a series of, you know, and it gets very annoying. So I start looking at her and then going, and she keeps doing it. And then she, you know, I suddenly hear her say, well, I'm sharing the table with some old fuck, and you know, he keeps trying to get me to, you know, keeps trying to stare me down when he can't do it. And so we get into this discussion, you know, and then I talk about, you know, having, here I am saying, you know, myself, having open heart surgery. You know, I had open heart surgery.
I do know that.
Yeah, and about...
When?
Last June. And so... So we're trying, and I thought, well, if nothing else comes of it, I could do it at the gallery. You know, we could just do a little bit. So.
Oh, I think you should.
I'd like to try it. You know, I try anything comes to mind, I give it a try. I really do. I've always done that.
The great thing about doing theater things is whatever idea you have to give it up on the spot and dance with the other person, and they have to do the same. So it moves you. That's why I use it in photography classes, because it moves you out of your...
But, you know, this is such a good way of teaching photography, because photography classes are so boring and they follow the same rules and the same principles, and what you really need to do is to get into the whole, all of you is the work, not just the eyes. And this whole theater stuff, of course, I did that from the very beginning. I mean, you know, telling little stories. And, guess what happened? Who directed Star Wars?
Lucas?
Yeah. George Lucas came to my exhibit and bought three portraits.
Nice.
Yes, I was delighted.
Very nice.
And I had a mention, somebody called me up in New York Magazine. I'm bragging. He's a very famous young director. Can't remember his name. And so he's stopped making films, and they were talking to him, and somebody said, and the interviewer said, "Well, you know, what are you doing now?" And he said, "I'm studying the work of Dwayne Michaels." Wasn't that cute? Yeah. No, but I was startled.
That's I've been doing that for how many years now?
No, but I mean, it's, you know, I live very quietly, but I just showed off that Lucas came, and this guy whose name I can't remember came.
Did you see the movie Ida?
No. Ida?
Ida. Polish movie.
No.
It looks like you photographed it.
Really?
I've got a disc of it. I'd
love to see it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. Have you seen it?
No.
Stunning.
Who was the director?
Some Polish director that I've never heard of. None of us have ever heard of. And I'm reminded of it in part because, you know how the light is always
the
working
slant
on this wall?
Yeah.
The light on the wall is one of the major characters in this movie.
Yeah. Well, I did a sequence a long time ago just with a light.
I remember.
Was called Light Touch.
You did a number of things.
Yeah, I used this. I made my entire career between these two walls. This is where, what was that called? This is where I did Paradise Regained,
yep.
The very first one.
I recognize the radiator.
Yeah, and this is in the fireplace.
Yeah.
My friend Philippe from Paris called said that somebody had taken my sequences and restaged them in color and did ads using them, except they put clothes on the models, and it was called Homage to Dwayne Michaels. They did it in 2013. I never heard about it, and so
a proper homage would be a large check.
So I'm going to see if I could get a talk to a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, not only did they take the work literally, but they also used my name. It was just such a strange idea that they didn't have the courtesy to say, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So what were we talking about?
We were talking about what is that thing? As you read this, I am entering your mind.
Yeah,
is it still?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that anywhere.
It's around.
Is
it's
it around?
Yeah, sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that because it happens right there in the moment.
Yeah. It says, I am writing this. I'm making black marks on white paper. These marks are my thoughts. You are reading my thought. And as for some reason, the lines of our lives have crossed at this moment when you're reading this, and I wrote it. And I forget how it ends, but it's no accident. It's called It's No Accident You're Reading This.
Yes, yeah.
And the fact, and then, anyway, there was another one like that which I liked. There was one I found very touching. I wrote, I was just at William and Mary College, and I mentioned it. But it said, this is only four lines. My father could walk in the sky. He promised to teach me how. But he left without saying goodbye. I don't cry. I'm a grown-up now. And because for me, the father-son relationship was very profound. In my gayness, that's where I fit in, not the Mapplethorpe crowd or any of that. But I fit in the legitimacy of affection between people of the same gender. And if it expresses itself, that's terrific too, as opposed to it all being about sucking and fucking, and there's not 1 minute of affection, there's not 1 minute of love, there's not touching, not slapping, touching. You know, there's a big difference.
One of the essays in the book, they, I think you say that you're a short story writer. Do you like short stories, written stories?
Yeah, I like it.
I'll send you an astounding book.
Well, you know, I'm reading one now somebody sent me, and I hate the title. It's called Who Am I? And there's a subtext, but it's really terrific. This guy is. And then I saw on they've sold 1 million copies of this book, and I'm only on the second one, and I'm just knocked out by the guy and the connections he makes. I judge people by their minds. And when you run into somebody who's this smart and has put it together in such an elegant way,
I'll look it up. I'll find it.
I'll show you it. I annotate books. And in my exhibit, I have a portrait of, what's that fellow's name? Ionescu, Eugene Ionescu. And he wrote Rhinoceroses and the
Marine. He was one of the first people I photographed.
Really?
And the year before, I'd been reading him in college, and then here I am.
You're kidding.
Taking his picture.
When did you do that?
In 1971
or something. Was he making a movie?
No, he was at Berkshire Playhouse and was doing in Stockbridge, was doing one of his plays.
And that's how you got to do it?
So I was their kid photographer.
Yeah, I photographed him here in New York. He was making a movie with Beckett. And the portrait I have of Beckett, I took at that same time. And then, so I went to my contacts and I found this portrait. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. So then I went back and I read his journals years ago and I found the book. And he knocked me out. And I so heavily annotated that book that it just, there's another book that I so heavily annotated. And there's another one which called The Quantum and the Lotus. It brings together Buddhism and quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really good.
What about this notion that light is sometimes a particle?
Particle and sometimes a wave. I know. Isn't that amazing?
How do we do that? How do we show that?
Let me think about that. I've been so lucky because I've been able to exercise any thought I had. What I love about my big conceit at the end of my life, and I am probably my last decade, is that I've had such a huge range of things